To hedge of protection, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, I'd like to read that to you. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there and we'll get you fixed up. If not, we'll have it up here. It says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. All right, so he's talking about the intent of God. That's whose intent we're talking about. I've been talking about the coming wrath or judgment of God. It's not something that I've spent a lot of time preaching on over the years, but the last couple of weeks I've talked about it. Wrath is only, though, I stress this, wrath is only for those who are not putting their faith in Jesus Christ. It's not for the wrath of God that's coming. It's not for the church, but we need to be aware of it. If you are not a Christian, you are under the law. That's tit for tat. That means under the law, if you have ever committed a single sin, you are guilty unto death. And it's coming to get you. And judgment's coming. But it's not coming upon us. The judgment of God upon us is different than that judgment. But how many of you know that it rains on your, when it rains on your neighbor's house, it also rains on yours? At least it's supposed to. I mean, I understand. And we live in Iowa, I know, but I mean. And so when it rains, it just rains, okay? The rain doesn't ask, you know, who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. You know, the evil that sinful people release is indiscriminate. You know, a drunk driver does not ask a person he runs over, you know, if they're Christians first. And, you know, so the church is designed to be a shield in this rough place that we live. You know, a roof, a shelter. It has a purpose from, the consequences, to protect us from the consequences of mankind's sin. It doesn't have to be your sin. It can just be your neighbor's sin. But, you know, because we live in this world, we still get hit. But we're not destroyed. That's what the church does for us, is it keeps us and helps us and it provides protection and guidance and love and support and all kinds of infinite things. In Ephesians 3:10, Paul, he's talking about the ministry that was given to him by God's grace. He's saying, here's what the intent of God was for giving me, Paul, this ministry. And he's explaining God's intent of choosing someone like him. God did not choose Paul because Paul was special. We have come to believe that Paul was special because he's wrote most of our New Testament. But he wasn't special when he started. Paul was the least of the least amongst men. I mean, there are scumbags, and then there's Paul. Chief of all scumbags. And so he's explaining why God chose someone like him. Why did God choose someone like Paul, who was so unqualified? He had no pedigree. I mean, he was an evil person. And the reason was because God wanted to make plain his manifold wisdom to the authorities in the heavenly realms. In other words, to make plain to anyone who dares to let their pride get in the way of truth and to think that God isn't all that important in their life, to think that the institutions of God aren't so important or anything like that. He wanted to make sure that they would understand that that was a mistake. And so he chose a man who was completely unreliable, at the bottom of the heap, so that people would realize that it was God teaching the lesson. Why does God choose someone like you? There's a lot of people in the world that are not Christians. If you're a Christian, why did God choose someone like you? Why does he choose someone like me? Well, it's for the same reason. It's not because we're wonderful and great and special and all of these things. He chooses us because he wants to make a point to those who carry pride. It's not about how great we are. It's about the intent of God. You know, if a mighty man who does not need God goes out and manages to destroy his life. He thinks he has the world by the tail, but at the end of the day, he finds out that he's made one great big mistake. And these fools, these people who don't even deserve the title of scumbag, somehow they put their trust in God and they're protected and they live. What does that say about the advantage of throwing in with God? I would say throwing in with God's a pretty good idea. That's a pretty good leg up. The hedge of protection that God creates in us and for us is not about how worthy we are. It's about how worthy God is. He has a purpose, an intent, something that he's up to. When God sent me to Creston, Iowa, it was not about my worth. I know that's true because most people didn't have much confidence in me. A lot of them didn't have any confidence in me, and I am not upset about it because I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself. And for years, I was confused about how it continued, and then God gave me that revelation was because you're such a loser. And I want to make this point, and I was, okay, that's good with me. And so we started out there. And so when we established Abundant Life Family Church, most people didn't have confidence in us as a church either. But see, that's the whole point. The reason you and I are here today is because of the confidence that we put in God, not ourselves. See, to do in us what we could not do ourselves, that's our confidence in Him. You know, that He can use us in spite of where we are and who we are. You know, He can still put us at the top. And when you do make the mistake of putting confidence, or when we make the mistake of putting our confidence in ourselves, well, we get thumped. And that's just to train us so that we don't fall under the judgment that's coming. Because pride is going to be broken. What I've been saying is get your buns in the church. It's not about how perfect people are. It's about the plans and intent of God. Noah was not a righteous man. He was the least of the least. Now, he was considered righteous, but that's after the story. That's after he believed in God and was faithful. He was considered righteous because he believed God. But when he started out, guess what? He was a scoundrel. Like every other person God has ever used. And because he believed God, a single man, this one man, because he believed God, he condemned his whole generation to death. This scoundrel, this just ordinary guy who decided that he was going to believe in God, he was responsible for condemning his whole generation to death. Well, how did he do that? Well, if he had doubted and refused to build that boat, as God had instructed him, God would still be waiting for a man to come along to build that boat. Because for his purposes, he needed a remnant to carry forth. And so here's this crazy man who's crazy enough to spend his entire life building a boat. And so because Noah had faith and he built the ark, his generation was the one that was destroyed. If Noah hadn't been the one that was faithful, if he hadn't been faithful to build that ark, it would have been a different generation. And so by Noah's faith and being obedient to God, I mean, he was saved, right? But the other side of that, flip side of that was the world was condemned. Think about that. Noah was not someone special. He was simply a man who believed God. Consider today. What will it take to usher in the return of Christ? Maybe just one man, or one woman, or maybe even a child. Maybe it will take, maybe all it will take is someone who will believe God. And it will be that generation that experiences the salvation, the coming of Jesus Christ, and it will be that generation that experiences the wrath and destruction of those who have not accepted Christ. Or maybe it'll take a church that becomes the hedge of protection that God needs for His people. A church that will become that ark, that covering, that place that where people are saved from the coming storm. Until that church is in place, Christ can't come back. I don't know. I'm just throwing some theories out there. You see, I may not be the man who ushers in Christ's return. Abundant Life Family Church may not be the church that ushers in Christ's return. But I believe that we are a part of what God intends. See, here's the deal. When we talk that way, it sounds far-fetched. It sounds like, almost like you're insane. They accuse Paul of being insane. Your great learnings made you a nut. How could a church like Abundant Life Family Church and in the middle of Creston, Iowa, with just some unordinary folks, how could they be responsible for the coming of Jesus Christ? Or how could just one man, how could one woman like you, how could you personally be responsible for the coming of Jesus Christ? I mean, that just sounds way out there. But here's the deal. See, even if you and I are not it, even if our church is not it, someone like us, who is as ordinary as us, who is as common as us, will be that church, will be that people. And so it's no more far-fetched for us to think that way than it would be for them to think that way. If we are not the generation, then let us faithfully patch the torch on to the next. We need to let people know that what God is doing through His church. Let us pass on this notion that God is going to use someone like us. Look at me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, so that we can survive. 1 Corinthians 12:28, it's up there also. It says this, and God has placed in the church, first off, all apostles, second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then miracles. Then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Okay, so the church isn't structured on who's most important. That's not what the system that God set up in the church is about. God has not arranged the order of authorities in the church by who's most special. He arranged the gifts of the church in a way to show off His wisdom to the people who do think that they're special. That's what He's doing. The ministry gifts in the church are very unspecial. The gifts are special, but the people God uses are very unspecial. And those who do not understand that, who think that they're special, well, they're about to find out how unspecial they are when their pride is broken. You see, when people looked at Jesus on the cross and they saw a loser, whose fault was that? I don't know about you on the back row, but I know us on the front row. Want a little cool. If this gets too cold on somebody, would you just... Okay, I'm sure we can use that sound effect someday. Anyway. When people looked at Jesus on the cross and they saw a loser, whose fault was that? Was that his fault because he didn't grandstand enough? When he was arrested and beaten, when he was bloodied beyond recognition and they all fell away because they were looking for someone special, whose fault was that? Should we blame Jesus for not grandstanding? Because he should have told us how special he was. Where did God install his gifts at? 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles. He placed his gifts in the church. God placed non-extraordinary gifts in the church. The church is the place that you want to be. And this is not talking about an abstract universal church. I mean, you can include that if you want, but he puts his gifts in local churches, just like ours, all over the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. For you, brothers and sisters, become imitators of God's churches in Judea. That's talking about some local churches. Be imitator of God's churches, which are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, he wants churches that actually follow after Christ, but imitate the churches. Okay, you're not instructed to imitate those outside of the church. You are to imitate people in the churches. How can you imitate God's churches if you aren't in one? Not all churches are worth imitating. I understand that, but getting rid of the church is not the answer. Separating yourself from the church and not being a part of the church is not the plan of action that God has called Christians to today. Trust me on this. It's just the opposite because of what's coming. If you didn't need the church yesterday, let me tell you something. You need it today. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. You will know how people ought to conduct themselves. He's talking to Timothy, Paul. He says, you'll know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth. Paul is instructing Timothy about how to run a local church. And he describes what that church is. Paul instructs Timothy about the conduct of God's household. God's household is the church of the living God. You cannot remove local fellowship from this. Local fellowships are the pillar and the foundation of truth.